We've been looking this week in the book of Galatians. We started by looking at Galatians chapter 5, those very familiar verses from 22 and 23, speaking to us about the fruit of the Spirit and what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. So because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, because we are believers, we've accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus on our part. We have His Spirit in us. And so if we are living in the Spirit and living to the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to move through us, if we are yielding ourselves to the Spirit and not to the flesh, to the carnal, if we're doing that, then we're going to see the fruit of the Spirit. Because out of each one of us, the world is going to see and experience the fruit. The fruit comes from whatever the source is. So if we are yielding ourselves and giving ourselves to the Spirit, then we're going to get the fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit of the Spirit is going to be evident. And that fruit of the Spirit is all the things that I just said. The world is going to be able to see from you and I. Love. Oh, not just any kind of love. Not the kind of love that you and I would say. But this is the Christ-like kind of love. It is the total giving kind of love. And that can come through you and I because His Spirit is in us. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence of the Spirit working through us. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of these things are fruits of the Spirit. So the question is the world around you, is your family, your co-workers, are they seeing the fruit of the Spirit evidenced in you, or are they seeing the fruits of the flesh, of the carnal? And the verses before the 22 and 23, the verses before that talk to us about those things. So we've talked about that, and then we also saw that Paul, as he was sending this letter to the Galatians, to get and understand that in context, he was talking, leading up to all of that, about the freedoms that we have and the liberty that we have in Jesus. And we're either under bondage or we're in freedom in Jesus Christ. And he's talking about the Jews who are still living under the law. And even sometimes, because this is a letter to the church at Galatia, so these are believers, these are born-again believers, and yet they were going back to the law and putting themselves back under bondage. And he's made the case in chapter 4 and in the beginning of chapter 5, he's made the case for the difference between bondage and liberty. Verse number 31 from chapter 4 we looked at yesterday. So brethren, we who are born again, this is you and I, are not children of the slave woman, the natural. We are not children of the flesh, of the carnal, of the natural, of slavery, but we are children of the free, the supernatural, the Spirit. And Paul encourages us to walk in that spiritual freedom. Chapter 5, verse number 1, in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Because we're not bound by the flesh, because we're not bound by the carnal, we have absolute, total, 100% freedom in Jesus Christ. In this freedom that Paul's been talking about in Christ, Jesus has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held, ensnared. Submit again to the yoke of slavery, which you have once put off. So you have absolute freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ. You have freedom from all things that are contrary to the Word of God, and you have freedom to operate in Jesus Christ and in the things of the Spirit. You have freedom and liberty in all things. And Paul is saying, don't submit again to the carnal things and to the natural things. Don't submit again to the law and to the things of the old covenant. So as he was expressing those things, he goes on in chapter 5 and talks about running the race. And before we get to those verses we started with, which is verses 22 and 23, which are the verses that look at the fruits of the Spirit, I'm going to look at two verses that lead up to this. With all this understanding we just talked about Paul speaking to us about not being under slavery and bondage, and so not putting ourselves under that, but instead, we have that freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ. You have freedom and victory, liberty over everything. You are, in Jesus Christ, you are not bound by addictions. Now, your past may have told you, and your experience may have told you, that in the flesh, you had addictions that you could not overcome. If you were addicted to drugs, if you were addicted to pornography, if you were addicted to alcohol, you know from that past addiction, you did not have the strength to overcome that by yourself. But what Paul is telling us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is you are not under You're not a child of bondage. You're a child of freedom. You're not a child of the natural. You're a child of the supernatural. And in that supernatural relationship that you have in Jesus Christ, you are free and you have liberty. And so you are no longer. Don't think to yourself that, oh, you know, once I'm an alcoholic, I'm always an alcoholic. I will always be an alcoholic. I know that's fashionable to say, but that's not, you know, the reality is, the spiritual truth is this. Once you are free and you have liberty in Jesus Christ, no longer call yourself an addict. You are free in Jesus. Don't look at the past and say, I remember what it felt like to be addicted. I remember what it felt like to, I could not stop myself. I remember how hard and how strong that pull was. And I know I could easily make myself susceptible to that again. No, know this. You're not a child of bondage. You're a child of freedom. You're a child of Jesus Christ, and that comes with freedom. So don't think of yourself. Think of yourself as delivered and set free. Know that you are delivered and set free. Now in verse number, let's read verses 11, 12, and 13. But brethren, if I still preach circumcision, as some accuse me of doing, as necessary to salvation, why am I still suffering persecution? In that case, the cross had ceased to be a stumbling block and is made meaningless, done away. Paul is saying, listen, you're accusing me, or I've been accused, of saying that you must be circumcised. And he's saying that would be putting away the effectiveness and the power of the cross. Now, victory doesn't come by a symbol or by a carnal thing or something that you do outwardly. It comes by the change that takes place within us because of the work that Jesus did at the cross. I wish those who, let's read verse number 13. For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. You are free. Speak about yourself as being free. You were called to freedom, and thus in Jesus, you were called to freedom. And guess what? He said in verse number 1, in this freedom, you have it. It is already yours. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated. Stand fast then. Because you are free, because you are liberated, stand fast. Stand against everything in your life that is contrary to that freedom and that liberty. If there is sickness in your body, stand fast against that. You are free. You have liberty in Jesus Christ. We're not bound by the things of the natural. We live and operate. Thank you, Jesus. Because of Jesus, we live and operate in the supernatural. For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to you, to your flesh, and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness, but through love you should serve one another. What Paul is saying is you have freedom. You have freedom and you have liberty in Jesus Christ. However, do not allow that freedom. Don't allow that freedom that you have to become an incentive for your flesh, an excuse for your flesh to be sinful and to think of self. We have the liberty and we have the freedom in Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that we use that liberty and that freedom for selfishness, or that we use that liberty or that freedom as an excuse to sin and say that it's okay because we've got freedom in Jesus Christ. See, what happens is, and it all comes down to this one thing. You're either thinking of yourself and you're serving yourself, or you're serving Christ because you're loving others. You're either focused on self or you're focused on others. You have freedom and liberty, so you can walk in everything that Jesus has for you. However, you know, this is one of the things that I always try to emphasize, because I'll be the first one to say that in Jesus Christ, he has given us everything that we need, everything that is required for this life. He has given us everything so that we can walk in victory in this life. There is nothing he has withheld from you, nothing. Every victory that he has won is yours. He has made you an overcomer with him in all things. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ in all things. So all that is his is yours. What belongs to Jesus? Everything. And that's what he shares with you. That is what is yours also. Because you're a joint heir with Jesus. You have everything in Jesus. You have healing. You have deliverance. You have victory. You have blessing. You have favor. You have every divine blessing that he has established for you in this life. It's yours. And we should receive it. I'm the first one to say, know that it's yours and receive it. Know that it's yours and receive it and be joyous and be thankful for it. But also understand that these things are not just for us to consume upon ourselves. In other words, Jesus has given us these things, and he's given us everything because of his great love for us. It was given to you because his motivation to give it to you is his love for you. That's his motivation. He's given you everything. All belongs to you. He paid the price. He paid the ultimate price. He gave everything so that everything that is his is now yours. And he did it because he loves you. That is truth. But we can't stop there. We have to also understand that I receive all those things. I receive healing. I receive blessing. I receive favor. I receive all of those things. And I do so with a grateful and a thankful heart. But I don't stop there. I also receive those things with the understanding that they are to glorify Jesus Christ. It is not just for me to consume and then go about my day. It is for me to give glory to Jesus Christ, that everything that I have is to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So when I walk in every blessing that he has for me, as I walk in that blessing, I receive it joyously, but I also want to make sure that I am glorifying Jesus Christ and I am letting people know this is who Jesus is. This is what his word has said. This is what he has done for me. Look at my life, and Jesus, you be glorified. His motivation for giving everything is his love for you. We receive it, but don't just receive it and go on with your life, which is what easily we can do. Instead, make sure that we stop him and praise him and worship him, glorify the name of Jesus. Give him glory to others. So in verse number 13 of Galatians chapter 5, Paul is saying, "For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom, only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness." The freedom that I have, I can do all things in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to do some things, and some things are still sin, and I don't want to do anything that's opposed to the Lord. I don't want to do anything that is opposed to Jesus Christ. But I have freedom in Jesus Christ. I walk in freedom and in liberty. But I can't take those liberties and be selfish. That's where sin comes in. And then I start doing things that are contrary to the Word of God. If I'm thinking of self, then I start to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. If my mindset is, I have, because of Jesus Christ, he has covered every one of my sins, so I have freedom to sin. And Paul said again and again and again, in his letters, Paul said, heaven forbid. Of course not. He's making it clear that is not an excuse. Or reality. And this is what he's saying here. We cannot use our liberties or our freedom as an excuse for selfishness. In other words, doing things for self, not doing things to glorify Jesus Christ. But through love, you should serve one another. Here's what it really comes down to. And this is why Jesus has pointed this out, and Paul brings it out also. You know, here's how you know. Everything comes down to this. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your being. You love God first. And here's the second great commandment. If you do these things, everything else falls into place. If you do these two things, you will do all. You'll honor all of the word. Love God. Love him first, above yourself, above others, above everything in your life. You love God first. Second thing is, love your neighbor as yourself. Or in other words, don't be selfish. Don't think of yourself first. You think about others and how you can serve them and how you can benefit them. He goes on in verse number 16 to say, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit." See, if my mind is, I love Jesus first. I love you first and above all other things. And my second thing is, love my neighbor as myself. Or in other words, don't think selfishly, but think about others. If I'll do those things, then I can fulfill this which Paul said. "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings, the desires of the flesh, or human nature without God." He is saying, if you want to make sure that those holds that were on you before never come back to you again, if you want to see that freedom and liberty, and you want to experience that, and never have to look back again, "But I say to you, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit." You do this by loving Jesus first, Love God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your being, all of your power and all of your might. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Or don't think of yourself first. Don't be selfish. You think of others first and yourself second. You do these things, and you are allowing the Holy Spirit to be responsive. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to move through you. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to move and to guide you because you've gotten out of the way. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings, the desires of the flesh, human nature without God. This is how you put those cravings. That's how you put that human nature out of the way.